Oh, there it is. Yeah, dog. What's up, Tom McCaffrey? How you doing?
What's up?
You just took your glasses off. What's up? What does that mean?
Nothing. Just they were reflecting off my computer, so I didn't want to see that.
I say.
I don't want to see you.
When we started this call, you were being like complete white trash with the news blaring in the background. Like every
is
trailer
that white
park.
Trash?
Yeah, it's very trailer park. You just have the TV blaring at all times.
It's white trash to have a TV.
It's white trash to have the TV on loudly when you're doing something
loudly
else.
Or just I had the TV on a normal level.
It was pretty garbage behavior.
I'm white trash. I live in an apartment in Manhattan. I grew up in Manhattan. Yeah.
That's what's surprising about it.
Aren't you? But didn't you actually grow up in a trailer park?
Yeah, I mean, I was. We weren't in a park. I was in a trailer for a couple of years. But it was on the
were you really?
School. Yeah, we were in the property of the school. We couldn't afford the park.
Oh, okay. Well, so then this is some projection shit.
It might be. It very well may. It very well so may that, be.
Yeah. What to talk about? You wanted to talk about that show, that horrible show on Friday.
Yeah, so last Friday at Black Cat LES, the weekly show that I run on Fridays with Ryan DeCarlos, 9 p.m., 172 Rivington every week. Tom was there, and there were probably like, I think there might have been 100 people in that room. It was like a small coffee shop.
I don't think it
was 100?
No, I think it was probably like, it was like 45. That
it was
room
more than
feels,
45.
I don't know, that room, if it's full... Well, you know, explain what because it sounds like that's a good thing with so many people.
Yeah.
You messaged me before that it was someone's birthday and then they were doing stand up for the first time for their birthday and they were like 25 and all their friends were there. And so these two guys went on back to back. And so it was full of a bunch of 25-year-olds and they were there to watch their friend. And then I had to go up after the two friends of theirs had gone on. So they were done with the show.
I would argue that was the best spot of the night.
My spot?
Yeah. I mean, because everybody was still in there. Like later they started like that. I told the guys that wanted to do the show because they weren't real comics. They just were new. And I was like, well, I don't want you guys going in the middle because then all your friends are leaving. And they were like, we promise they won't do that. And they did try, but one guy's friends left. The other guy's friends stayed. But like you definitely had a way better spot than the comics towards the end of the show.
You wouldn't know because you left.
And didn't hang out.
I watched one person after me, and it was pretty rough for them. But people were leaving. There was no good spot. It was one of those things. I knew it was going to be a shit show because I've seen that stuff before, where you're doing a show, one person brings all the people, they go up, and then the show's over because they're done paying attention, and they want to leave, but they don't know how to leave. And then some of them they all start kind of talking. It was interesting because it was one of those sets that I was like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't like stand up.
I feel like you're painting such a bleak picture. I think it was pretty fun. They were listening. They were kind of a tough room.
I guess it's if you're into that, I just don't want to like
you're into packed rooms on Friday night.
But it's a packed room that's not they're not good, so it's kind of it doesn't matter if it's packed. It's kind of like a it's like a no win situation. But
well, I feel like but then if let's say that it was an off week and there were only like 8 audience members, then
are you trying to argue that it was a good scenario? Yeah, you're right. I was just trying to interject before you ended. But I mean, are you trying to argue that was like a good scenario for anyone? I mean, it was. I remember I did the thing, and Mike Racine was there, and he was like, he was really nice. Because I mean, you couldn't do material. I mean, the whole thing is I wanted to go through some material that I was trying to get ready for something. I'm doing a show March 5th, like a long set. For nice. Sort of like a comedy book release. But anyway, like I haven't been getting up, so I wanted to get, you know, go through some stuff, but you couldn't do that. It had to be all about them because they're all yelling at you and they think, you know, it's that thing. They all think they're funny because they're yelling something at you. And then But I had a couple of things that I didn't even think were that clever. But Mike Racine was really nice, and he was like, "Oh, he's like, that was great, that was great." And then I was like, "Yeah, it was kind of a nightmare." And he's like, "Well, what do you?" He was like, "What are you gonna do? Kill in that situation? Like, you're not gonna go up and like kill?" Like, and I was like, "Yeah, that's true. You're just kind of gonna go up and have to kind of take." And the thing is, like, I can do that. It's just I don't like do it. That's what I mean about like why it reminds me why I don't really like doing stand up that much is because I don't like doing things like that anymore. But in stand up, you have to face that a lot. It that's what it is a lot of times is. And I've done that for a lot of times, and I just don't, you know, want to do that. But you kind of have to. And I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, it does test your chops. You got to go up there.
It does.
I mean, it's ballsy. Not a lot of people can do that. You know, you got to go up and be like, fuck it.
Yep. But you just got to decide to take over the room, you know?
Yeah. And it was funny because I went up and I knew it was going to be a shit show, and they were all kind of talking, and I got up there and I was like, this is a dicey move. I was like, shut up. I started telling everyone to shut up. But that can go either way because they can get mad or they can like it. And they did because I made kind of a funny. It's weird. There's a way to do it that it's funny, but it can be not funny, you know?
You got to thread the needle.
Yeah. So that's what doing stand up for a while will kind of teach you. I don't, it's.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. I just see, like, I don't know. I guess I'm biased. I'm biased because it's my show, but like, there's just some like most of the time it's good. A lot of times it's awesome, but some weeks it's like light. And then comics, if it's light, then a comic just immediately, not all, but some will just like shit on the room and this sucks. It's like, okay, then we pack it out. Then that's not good enough for you either. It's like, that's frustrating. You know, it's like, well, I can't make every room perfect every week. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I did it the week before and I thought it was good.
Oh yeah. That's right. That was fun.
But it was just sort of a rough, it was just not an, I mean, it was,
you're right. Definitely it was a birthday
the,
show.
It wasn't the worst scenario I've ever been. I've been in way worse.
Yeah. Like what?
I mean, you know, just a room full of people that just hate you, you know, ambush shows.
Oh yeah, dude.
You know, where they're not, I did a show like, you know, Scott Sharp had a show at some bar. Down in the village like years ago. It's probably like 7 years ago. And
is that LES?
Maybe. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I think that's where it was.
Was it like a bar? Was it a fish bar?
Fish?
You know the band
Fish?
Oh,
yes, it was. They aired Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So I go there, you know, and he's like, you know, when he books me, he's like, yeah, I do the show, you know, and it's... It's at this fish bar. It's like, and I'm like, fish, you know, and he's like, it's, yeah, the band Fish, a lot of Fish fans go there. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that they had like a bar. and he kept telling me that. And then I got up there and I was like, and they were bad. And I think early on I said like, so you guys are like fans of Fish, I've heard. And they got like really defensive and angry at that. Like, I didn't understand. I don't know.
You were disparaging Fish?
No. I was like, I heard you guys are like Fish fans. Is that true? And then they were like, well, shut up. Like they started like screaming at me. And I was like, I was just like, all right, I'm sorry, relax. They told me this was like a fish bar. And then someone was like, they just wouldn't stop yelling at me about it. And so I finally was just like, look, I don't know. I'm sorry that this is so fed. That host told me that the bartender, I didn't know that was an insult.
Yeah.
And then so it became like this contentious, like they already like were mad at me for that. And then I was pissed because I was like, you guys are mad at me because I made an observation that I've been told. And and then Mark Norman, I guess, went on and he kind of got into it with them. Like they weren't a good crowd. They were very hostile, which is weird because I thought Fish was supposed to be like, they're all like chill and like, yeah, like, you know, they're all like potheads and Grateful Dead. And yeah, and they were not like that. So
that is weird. I wonder why that vibe was like that. That's weird.
I don't know. I mean, it was a long time ago. I'm sure I think I went up, I wasn't doing that great. They were rough. They weren't great. It felt like that room Friday a little bit because it felt like they were all there together and were all kind of like not there to like have a good time. Not that those people were, but you know, with that show, you know, they weren't horrible at that show. They just, they were like done with the show, and they were young, and they were like 25-year-old assholes. And when you're 25 and there were like a bunch of young chick, hot chicks there, and they're kind of like, they want to say things, and they think everything they have to say is clever. And you know, that thing where they yell something at you and that they think that's clever. And you're like,
yeah, but dude, honestly, like, I don't see it that way. Lindsay was complaining. I'm like, what are you complaining about? Like, they were, if anything, they were a bad crowd in that they were not laughing a lot, but they were quiet. They were listening. They weren't being obnoxious.
Yeah, they were being a little. I mean, they were yelling a lot of things. I mean, you know, not yelling, but I would say something, then they'd have like something smart to say. Yeah,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
you had to come back, and then they'd maybe, if you came up with something funny, they'd laugh at that. I mean, it was funny because after I was done, I was leaving, and like four of them were like, "Hey, man, great job," and I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely a little chaotic, but I don't think that they were like bad people and like frat boys. I thought they were nice. They all seemed to be really nice. They listened. They weren't disruptive. They honestly weren't. Like they were cool. I don't know. Maybe I'm too optimistic about it, but
I don't know. I wasn't there. I only was there for the guys that went on and then me. Actually, there was one. It just was weird. It was a weird vibe. One guy went on right before they went on. I forgot his name, and he kind of struggled, but only because you could tell they were waiting for their friends, and they were just like not.
Yeah,
they weren't the worst. They were, like I said, I even said this to them. I go, you guys get a lot of flack for being the snowflake generation. I was like, I've met 20-somethings, and they just seem like assholes, like young assholes. That's what 20-somethings are. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like when you're in your 20s, you're just kind of an asshole because you just don't really...
You don't know enough stuff yet to not be self-centered or something?
Your brain is just finished forming, and you don't really know the world yet, and you kind of haven't been beaten down by the world yet a little bit. And but you know, that's, I feel like that always happens. Like the 20-something generation always gets labeled a certain way, as they're always like, oh, there's no hope for this new generation, they're horrible. But they're always kind of the same. I kind of liken it to like, it would be like babies, always judging babies every generation, being like, these babies, they're such assholes. They just cry all the time, and they just want food, you know, they don't want to do anything, and they just want you to carry them around. It's like, yeah, they're always like that.
Yeah, they're exhibiting characteristics that human beings exhibit when they're that age, which you did too, you know, and they have things, they're probably more like optimistic or have a better, more excited about the future than older people. So it's like, we can learn from them and they can learn from us, is my thought.
Yeah, I mean, that I was just saying that I think, you know, people in their 20s always get kind of a bad rap. I mean, when I was in my 20s, the Gen Xers, we were like, oh, there's no hope for the next generation. They're so lazy and they don't respect anything. And it's like, yeah, that you're kind of describing people who were just getting out of college. You know what I mean? So it's not a new... I think it's just technology and society shift, so they might be... And it's just the norm of everything. You know, you get older and you've been around and you start getting mad at the things that are coming after you. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I mean, I get mad at, you know, things just from getting older. And it's just, it's, you know, things annoy you more because you've been around more.
Right. One thing I think is interesting. Did you hear about this revival thing in Asbury, Kentucky?
No. What's that?
It's this college. There's a college camp. I think it's called Asbury. It's like a Christian college. And one day, like a month ago, some kids stayed after chapel late and kept doing this, like, you know, worship service, just singing hymns. And then people kept showing up, and like 500,000 people from across the country came to this chapel over the course of the past month. And they set up like a screen outside, and it was like this natural, like springing from natural, like just things happening, development. And I read this long article about it, and they were like, it speaks to the kind of disillusionment with society that the youngest generation has. They just went through the pandemic. They were isolated, and they're seeking like meaning and connection in a way that's like so old school and traditional and like, you know, evocative of the revivals, the tent revivals in the 1800s across the United States. Like that same fervor for connection and a higher power is still present in young people.
Yeah, I think that's just... And also, Yeah, that generation, you know, in their 20s now, has had, you know, a difficult time, like gone through a lot of difficult things. The whole growing up around social media, and they never knew a life without the internet or social media, and the school shootings just becoming like that was just I mean, that whole era kind of really kicked off around 1999, 2000. So they've just grown up in a world of like, oh yeah, people just shoot you at school. I mean, not all, but you know what I mean? It's like a thing that has been happening. Yep. So yeah, they're going to be disillusioned. And I don't know, whenever those school shooting things would happen, whenever they, you know, would have kids that, you know, there'd be these kids who kind of became activists and they'd be interviewed. They always seemed pretty poised and intelligent when they were talking about, you know, they seemed very, I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, representative of the entire scope of that generation, but I remember when one of those big shootings happened, I forget the one from like 4 years ago, that a lot of the kids were just seemed very intelligent, and the, you know, they were, you know, and then the thing is their friends will get shot, and then like a week later they'll be making these huge speeches in front of these huge crowds and the news is covering them, and they're like 18 and making these huge speeches crying, and I'm like, how could you do that? That's like so hard to, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go and just, you ever, you know, you see that a lot, some huge thing will happen in the news, someone gets murdered, and then like their brother or mother will be on the news 2 days later, like speaking in front of the whole world, crying, yes, about their, and I'm like, how are they able to do that?
Saying the most poignant things and like oftentimes full of like forgiveness and mercy and grace. And it's like, who are these people? Just out of
crying, George Floyd's brother, like 3 days later, was giving this amazing speech in front of like news cameras. And I mean, I don't know, like the fact that, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, something happens to you that you're able to do something like that. But I mean, that's terrifying. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go up in front of like 50, 20 somethings that I thought were kind of annoying. And I'm like, oh, I can't do it.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I'm amazed these people are like, oh, I'll just give a speech on CNN right now, 2 days after my brother was murdered, like, and cry and, you know, and actually make these amazing, eloquent points. That's,
it's like there's this natural human resilience kind of inherent in our DNA that, so that it's so consistent that people can communicate like that at such a traumatic time, you know?
Yeah, so that's,
'cause it's consistent.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, this whole like, it kind of made me think of that with that show of like, and I, like I said, I remember I said that, I was like, you guys get a bad rap, like that you're all like these wusses, and I'm like, you just seem like you're just kind of 20 something obnoxious young people. I mean, it's just sort of, I, you know, when I look back to that time, I, you know, I was like, I'm like mortified. I was so annoying, I'm sure.
I know I was, yeah.
I just thought I knew it. You know, it's so funny. You just think you know everything so young, and you just really later, you're like, oh, I don't know anything. Like, I really love every year, I'm like, oh, I don't know anything at all. Did I ever know anything?
Yeah, the Socratic ignorance improves over time.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. But also, I learned things from younger people, too. Like, this comic, Czar, I forget her last name. She was in town in New York, and she wanted to perform on this, like, house show at New York Comedy Club. And in my head, I'm like, well, you can't perform unless you're passed. I mean, it's true. You can't perform unless you're passed by the booker, and you can't really, like, you know, worm your way onto a show. And then she just, like, very politely explained the situation to the manager, got on the show, did well, went home, no harm, no foul. Like, I was like, oh, so you can do that? You can, like, be assertive in a kind, polite way. And I'm like, Danny, the girl's like, she's like 21, and I'm like learning from her, and I'm like way older than her. So I'm like, you know, to write off an entire generation is insane, because you can learn from most, if not all, individuals.
Oh, I don't know. I watch like American, you know, I don't really watch American Idol that much, but I was watching it recently. And apparently if you're over 19, you're not allowed to sing anymore. It's like a weird, like everyone on the show is like 19 and under. It's like unbelievable. These people, these kids come on and they're like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, it'd just be this huge, insane, the greatest performance you've ever seen. They're like, how old are you? Oh, I'm 15. You know, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, how are you doing this at that? You know what I mean? That's a weird one to see. And I know it's not the norm, but it's, but I have seen that happen on those shows. They skew really, really young now. But that's really weird to me, watching the talent of not that I'm, you know, I'm not an aspiring singer, but the talent that people can have at such a young age is like mind blowing. That you could be 17, go on this reality show audition in front of these stars and just be like, oh yeah, what's up?
That's crazy. I had this joke about Dua Lipa. She did this like talent show when she was 12 or 13 in Kosovo. And she just, it's like not good lighting, just like, you know, school talent show. And she sings so beautifully that the crowd breaks into spontaneous applause. I'm like, what the fuck? Just this natural ability, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. But no, I feel like I'm really immature, but I mean, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not young.
How are you immature?
Just emotionally. And I'm not that immature. I'm just like, it took me a while. I remember myself when I was like in my mid 20s and I was very emotionally immature. I was just, I wasn't like a mess, but I just feel like I still felt very like lost and confused and didn't really know myself. And I think that's just normal for that age range. I think that's, your 20s are kind of for that. That's why it's weird when you'll see, when I would see people, even when I was that age, that were like around my age who really had their shit together. You know what I mean? Who just really were focused and knew what they wanted to do and were secure. And I always kind of aspire. It's funny. I you know what? When I was younger, I aspired to being mature and acting like, you know, I was like wise beyond my years, but the older I get, I feel like I regress more. Like I'm less concerned with that. I'm like, ah, whatever. Fuck it. I'm more open to being like a mess about things. I'm more honest about where I am, which I think is a sign of maturity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ironically, because you may exhibit behaviors in your past you would have tried to suppress, but if those are authentic, it's more authentic. I mean, it's more real and mature.
Myself more now, and I'm not as ashamed of. I mean, I'm ashamed. You know, I have shame, and I'm embarrassed. But like, I'm not. I won't run away from a way I feel or like something about myself now. Like, I'll be like, well, that's how it is. If people don't like it, I mean, that's too bad. But that's how it is. But I've gotten better. You know, because I feel like younger, you're always trying to, put your best. I mean, you're always trying to do that. Put your best self forward, but a lot of times it's phony and disingenuous in my 20s, because you're always trying to impress everyone, right? It's like your life for like in your 20s is like a one big high school reunion where you're always trying to like, I mean, I don't know that that really ends, but I think as you get older, you start caring about it less, you know?
Yeah.
Do you find that? I mean, as I get older, I'm just like, look, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like, I'll be like, I'm not that good at this. This isn't that impressive, but it's okay.
Yeah. I think when I was in my 20s, I'd be like, I know how to do corporate stuff and I can do I'm a leader. And now I'm just like, I'm not good at this and I'm not good at that. I'm kind of good at this. But if you expect me to lead a team of 10, I don't want to do it. Sounds shitty to me. Like I have a better sense of my weaknesses, which.
Right.
Makes me stronger because then I can focus on the things that I like to do instead of being I gotta mirror what I think is. I used to think that I had to mirror what the world wanted from me, and then I realized the world doesn't want anything from you, Danny. You're putting that image on yourself, that expectation on yourself.
Yeah, and it comes off. You're not a younger. You don't really understand that when you're trying to be something you're not, you think you're kind of fooling everyone. You don't think anyone can tell, but
they can see right the
people can tell. Not everyone, but I mean, you can fool some people, but I mean, there's an energy you can give off that's clearly, even if they can't, they don't know exactly what's going on. There's like a vibe they're getting that's off, you know, like you'll meet someone, you're like, something's off with this person. I don't know what it is. I can't articulate it, but yeah, with a lot of things, you know, with women and stuff, as I got older, the less I cared and the less I tried to pretend what I wasn't, what I was, I felt like the more they liked me, you know what I mean? Which seems counterintuitive. Like when you're younger, you're always trying to be, you know, I saw it later. Like you'd see these guys and they were always trying to impress women. Like, this is my job. And look at this. I have this car and da, da, da. And it's like, I remember when I realized, like, I don't think that they like that. I mean, some of them do, but they don't, not really. Here's a good example. I remember during the pandemic, I was in Texas for like 4 or 5 months. I was staying at my sister's place. just to get away because everything was a nightmare here. And I met this girl on like a dating app, and she was like, you know, kind of hot or whatever. And like, I went to meet her, and my brother-in-law and sister, they have like Teslas. And I took the Tesla to the date, and I remember I was driving her somewhere, and she was like, oh, wow, like you have a Tesla, huh? Like, that's really nice. And I was like, no, it's not mine. It's like my brother-in-law's. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I should have probably just like pretended it was mine. But
yeah,
it didn't matter. Like and then, you know, she was like into me. And I don't think that that's what did it, but it was also kind of like I was giving off an energy of like, oh, I don't care if you're impressed by it. Like, I'm not trying to impress you with this car. When in the past, I probably would have been like, tried to pass it off. And I bet you she wouldn't have been into me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, but it wasn't just that. It was like the whole vibe of me was, I wasn't there to like bullshit her and get, you know what I mean? I was just kind of like, this is it. If you're not into it, this isn't my car.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's like authenticity and confidence too. I think she could probably read into the, it takes confidence to not pretend that it's your car. You know?
Right, exactly. But that's the weird thing. You think it doesn't when you're younger. It's those guys are always like, you got to always like be in control and you got to like let them know. And it's like, no, they don't, you know, they really don't like that.
Dude, I had this townhouse in Atlanta and my friend came and stayed with me for a month or something because I had an extra bedroom. And we had these girls that live right next door and we would talk to them. They would hang out with us sometimes. They were cute. And then I talked to one of those girls one day when he wasn't around and they go, is that so-and-so's house? And I was like, no, it's mine. And she goes, oh, he told me that it was his townhouse. I'm like, I'm putting the guy up for free and he's lying about owning it to impress the girls next door. You got some nerve, dude.
And I mean, obviously that can
I get it
work,
though. I get why
too.
I do that.
No, I mean, it's not like that doesn't work, but I do. I feel like there's, you know, I'd see it a lot, you know, you'd see, you know, when like you see these douchey guys and they think they know what impresses a woman. And it's always like, look at me. I have this car. Look at me. I have this. And aren't I cool? And I think a lot of times, you know, women are turned, they can see through it and be like, what is wrong? This guy is such a loser. Like, he's so insecure. He needs to like show me as a, and I feel like in my life when I've, not even just women across the board, when I've just like been open and honest and just not seem to really care what they thought of anything about me, that was the time that they were, you know, I feel like the times where like women were most responsive to me was usually when I like didn't have a lot of money and just was, you know, it was like asking them to buy me, you know, like buy me drinks and stuff. Like, I wasn't trying to, but you know what I mean? It's just like guys get caught up in like, you got to get the money, you got to get this, and then you can get this. And it's like, no, that's not really how it works, actually.
Yeah.
They'll usually be dating a rich guy and then like meet some other dude, some comedian in a bar who has no money, and then be like, oh, okay, well, this guy, I think I'm going to sleep with him.
Right. I would imagine that shit gets boring over time. I'm sure there are some people for whom it doesn't get boring, but you know, it's not the end all be all just to, where you just gonna like look around your palace and just think about money all day. Like, don't you want to be like entertained and engaged, or like to have somebody that makes you laugh? Wouldn't that be part of it?
And they're used to it, especially if you're like attractive girl. Like, they're used to that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's not like most guys are doing that. I don't know why I'm bringing this around to. I just kind of the more, you know, as you get older, I think that's what, you know, when women are like, oh, I prefer older guys. I think that's what they're talking about. Guys who seem like a lot, their energy is just a lot more, because, you know, you get older and you're not as worried about certain things. So a woman who's out in the city, who's meeting a bunch of 25-year-old dudes all night who are just amped up on like adrenaline and, you know, hormones and like, I have to get the, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, I think that can get tiring and almost be like weird, like a weird energy, like 20 something dude energy is bad for the most part.
Yeah, like if it's like 40 dudes in their mid-20s in a room, like even if they're not like bad, it just feels bad.
Yeah, they're all like, you know, jacked up and they're all wearing the, like they have their outfits and their hair is all done, you know, they're all there to get laid and there's 10 of them. And
yeah,
you know,
their shirts all look the same. I've noticed that sometimes.
Right, and it's like,
you guys all went with the untucked button down.
Yeah, it's just because there's just too, you know, and I was in those situations where it'd be like seven of us trying to get into a bar and they'd be like, get out of here.
Dude,
and
it was too like, many guys.
Why?
You know, I like, get it, though, because I was like that, too. I definitely like dressed like my peers dressed because I didn't know how else to do it. You're just like, all right, what are y'all doing? All right. I probably can't afford what you guys are wearing.
But yeah. I didn't, you know, it's like anything. When you get older, your energy hopefully shifts and you're just kind of like, and I think people can, you know, especially if you're out trying to meet women or something, it's just the laid back energy of you can take it or leave it is just a much more pleasant energy to be around. So I would imagine I'm much more pleasant to be around. I got more pleasant to be around older, especially if you were like a woman, because
yeah, you're definitely a chill hang. I mean, I've only known you since you were, I don't know,
eight years older
than you are now, but yeah you've always seemed pretty chill.
Yeah, and I was chill always, but I mean, you know, when you're in your 20s or you know, you're just a lot more, you just have a lot more sexual energy, you know, or you're just more like, yeah, you're just out to and I was like less, you know, like less like that than I think other dudes. That's why I remember that was a big thing too in my 20s. You probably ran into that. A big thing too was like in your 20s when you hung out with dudes was like it felt like a constant competition. Everyone was trying to like, there was so much like cock blocking going on and I just couldn't stand that. It was like just dudes trying to flex on each other all the time. Like, that chick's talking about, all right, well, I'm going to ruin it. It's like, okay, so now you win, I guess.
Yeah. And I think girls get turned off by that behavior too. It's like, all right, dude. Do we need the constant competition and who knows if this is going to turn into a fist fight? Like, can we all just calm down?
Yeah. And that is a big 20 something guy thing, I think. Like, and because you run, that was when when it was the most prevalent for me, when I ran into it the most. And, you know, you just ruin your night and you get really mad and then you just be like, oh, I fucking hate you, man. And, but I have friends, man. They like, I don't even think they did. They knew they were doing it, but they were just like kind of natural cock blocks, right? You know, like certain.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Nah, man, I wing.
No, I'm just
wing my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, a point you made earlier, it just reminded me of a quote that Ethan Hawke said in Before Sunrise or After Sunset, whatever the fuck, one of those two. He's like, he noticed that at one point his desire to be his ideal self was getting in the way of him being his authentic self. And I was like, oh shit, I never looked at it that way. You know, it's like you think you're supposed to be becoming your ideal self. But if that is masking who you actually are, is that actually better? Or is that just a facade that you should be discarding to be authentic? Still working to improve, but authentic beats a facsimile of your vision of ideal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I think what he means by that is, especially in our culture, in American culture, everyone's so obsessed with like winning and being the best. And you do something, you have to like beat everyone. You got to be the best. And you always got to be trying your hardest. And so, it's kind of like they put this message in you, like, you know, you can be whatever you want to be in the world. And you know, you should like, you know, strive for the best and, you know, be the best you can be. But the thing is, like, not everyone is going to be the best at a thing or whatever they do, because there's just so many things out of their control. So I think if a lot of people feel like they're not excelling at a thing like other people are, which is so rampant, like you're just seeing people, or at least they're giving the image of them excelling, that you kind of beat yourself down because you get very despondent, like you feel like you're losing, and you're like, so that stops you from being, you know, accepting who you really are, because you're always like, well, I'm not like the best, and I'm not the ideal that I had in my head, and it's supposed to be that, and if I'm not that, then, you know, then I'm nothing, you know what I mean? Like, people, it's a very like all or nothing thinking. So
yeah, which is super debilitating, because nobody's ever gonna reach all those standards or all those heights.
But I remember, like, I saw, like, J-Lo do, like, a concert. So she did some concert. I think it might have been in the Super Bowl when she did it a few years ago. And she was like, you know, I just want to say to all those, you know, young girls out there, like, you know, I just want you to say, like, you should look at me and, you know that you can do it too, you know. And it's like, So
is it actually healthy?
Every yeah. young girl, every 12-year-old girl can perform at the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to have enough spots for the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's just like, that's a ridiculous statement. That's not true. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not true.
That why did it? So it's kind of the message a lot of times. It's like, you're going to be J-Lo or nothing. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Right.
But it's like, no, that's ridiculous. There's like going to be one J-Lo and no one, I'm not going to be J-Lo as much, you know, I've gotten the ass implants, but it's not working. No, but you know what I mean? So it's like, you can be successful, but it's not going to be, in, you know, it's kind of like they've implanted what you're supposed to be, what success looks like, but that's not everyone. But you know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're a failure.
It would be nice if there was more nuance to the message, like, work hard and you can achieve great things in a variety of endeavors, not you can be this.
Right. You can be the a great dancer, singer with a huge ass. Like, no, some girls are just not going to have big asses. But
hey,
I think that's
young
what
girls out there, grow your ass.
But it's kind of like, I think that's what he means in that is like, someone who's like, well, I have to be J-Lo, like a young girl who's not becoming J-Lo is going to beat themselves up, when instead they should be like, but what am I, what do I have to offer? What am I good at? Maybe it's not going to be this thing on a grand scale, but it's something I'm good at. And the whole thing comes around, like, as you get older, I think you get more in touch with that. Hopefully that
we need a smaller follow-up TED talk with J-Lo administering it to be a little bit more like realistic and parse that out.
Right.
Attention, ladies. She's wearing a suit. It's very calm.
Yeah, it's like but you know, that's the message that kids are getting now. And I mean, I got it too when I was young, you know. There's a line in Fight, I know we're running out of time, but I remember there was a line. Did you see Fight Club?
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, that's kind of about the male generation feeling at the time very discarded and they had no purpose and no place in history. And Brad Pitt, Tyler Durden says at one point, we were all raised on media to be, we were told that we were all going to grow up to be rock stars and movie gods. And we're not, and we're really pissed off. And it's kind of, that's, I remember that really resonated because it's like, oh yeah, pop culture young, I remember, was very like, you can be this, you can be this, you can be this. And then like we all grew, a lot of us grew up and we're like, but I'm not that. What's going on?
Leads to disillusionment. What's your handles?
At Tom McCaffrey 722.
Nice. I'm Danny Palmer, NYC. You want to plug anything?
No, just buy my book, Born Funny, on Amazon.
Buy Tom's book. And I'll be at the DC Improv this weekend, opening for Giulio Gallerati. 5 shows, they're all sold out, which is crazy.
So. March 5th, Sunday, my book release party at Pianos, 7:30.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'll be doing 40 minutes. Okay, thanks
Hopefully
a lot.
It's great talking. Bye, everybody.